Excellent, excellent. These are the study guides that I was talking about in that video, and they are ready. They're pretty impressive. The team did an amazing job with that. This is going to lead us through our conversation and through our study this fall. I've got to tell you, it is great to be back. Since I've been gone for the last 7 weeks, I've been in three different countries. I got to go to Guatemala with Compassion, and then I got to take some of our leaders up to Canada and to head out into the wilderness. It was a ton of fun because I got to tell you, I was used to Canada because I actually used to work there leading wilderness trips in Canada. But the guys that I was with, some of the leaders here at Hoboken Grace, they weren't used to Canada. They weren't used to people being nice in general, let alone Canada nice. Okay, if you haven't experienced it, Canada's a whole different level of nice. It's not like Southern nice where it's nice to your face and then they'll stab you in the back. It's like, it's real niceness, like complete niceness. One of the things that I'm convinced the most popular saying in Canada is, sorry, eh? Sorry. It's just constantly, every time I turn around, someone's apologizing for something. We're like, would you stop? If you're from Canada and I offended you, sorry. We had an amazing time just getting away with God and just pursuing Him and spending time in silence and solitude with Him up there. And then I got to go away with my wife without my kids, which makes me a happier person. But it's great. It really is. It's great to be back. And today's a really special Sunday for us here at Hoboken Grace. For those of you, by the way, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. Some of you are like, I've been attending here for 6 weeks. Who is this guy on stage? And where's the other guy who was funny? But my name is Chris. I do work here, and I'm the founding and lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. It was fun the other day. I walked out of our office, and I was walking down the hallway, and this lady was walking with this little boy, and they walked past the door and said, she said to the little boy, look, it's the church that you attend. And I heard him, so I turned around, and I was like, oh, and I didn't recognize her, so I introduced myself, and she said, oh, yeah, my son and daughter go to Hoboken Grace, and I've been coming for a little while now. She said, do you work there? And I said, I do. She said, because I wanted to see if it's possible if I could meet with Anthony. I said, yes, it is. Let me introduce you to him. And I took her into the office. It's a lot of fun. And it's just been amazing the job that Anthony did as we walked through the last series, right? Just an incredible job walking us through that. But today's a special day for us because at the end of August, the final Sunday of every August, we walk through what we call the State of the Union. And one of the things that Jesus prays for his church is that they'd be unified, that we would have unity. So the United States doesn't get to take that. We're going to take it. And this is the State of the Union. And in that, we talk through kind of what's happened this past year and then where we're going as we look towards the year ahead. And when we look back at this last year, it's been an amazing year. I mean, an incredibly powerful year. Can you believe that it was a year ago at this time that we were beginning and planning and preparing to walk into that conversation called Be Rich? Remember that? The light bulbs were out in the entryway, and some of you were really nervous about how that was going to work out and what was going to happen. And then, like, everyone's life changed. Over the last couple of weeks, I'm still getting emails. I got 2 emails over the last couple of weeks of people who contacted me to tell me how it's still impacting them as they're learning to be able to engage finances, look at finances, manage finances God's way. And we walked through that conversation, then we walked into the scene conversation and looked at, okay, how do we not just impact locally, but how do we take the mission to the world? And then we began to work through vision, and we looked at, okay, am I embracing God's vision for my life, or is it my vision for my life? And then we dove into Philippians and walked through when life crumbles and what it means to live for what's most important, and what is it that actually matters most inside of life? And then we looked at forgiveness, and how do we not just practice forgiveness, but how do we become people who actually live in, believe in, truly believe in forgiveness? We looked at how we engage a culture that's divided, and then for the last several weeks, Anthony's been walking us through, okay, what is the church supposed to look like? What was it intended to be, and how is it intended to impact the world? I mean, when you look back at the past year, it's been an amazing, amazing year. And over the course of that time, we've seen some really exciting things happen that we've never seen here at Hoboken Grace. As we've walked through this past year, we've seen 672 people walk into Hoboken Grace for the very first time. And I know as we walk through some of this stuff, I know it's difficult because it's up here, it's just a number. I want for you to do the hard work with me this morning of understanding that this is not just a number, that these are people. And sometimes that's hard because we see it up here and it's just represented as a number, but this is 672 individuals, stories, people that we were able to introduce to the fact that God is pursuing them and the truth of what Jesus has done for them. It's remarkable. As we've walked through this past year, we've seen almost 900 people engage in community and groups in some way, shape, or form throughout the year. It's amazing. We've seen over 500 people serving. This doesn't even include events like the Easter egg hunt or our bigger bridge events like the Christmas exchange. It doesn't even include that. These are people who are beginning to say, "No, I don't want to just be an observer. I want to be a participant in what it is that God's doing." And this area of our church has grown substantially over the past year. And for those of us who attend, this is probably one of the largest areas of growth that we've seen inside of our church in the past year. Almost 20% growth in the number of people who are engaging in service. In addition to that, Grace Kids for the last 6 weeks has averaged a 25% growth rate year over year. Right? Some of you, yeah, it's amazing, right? Some of you are clapping because you're not in Grace Kids. The Grace Kids workers who have the orange shirts on, they're terrified by this number right here. And it's just, it's amazing to see what's been happening up there. And some of you have heard that we're going to be launching Grace Kids in our third service, and you're wondering why. This is why, right here. We can't make the fourth floor bigger. The town said no. So we have to figure out, okay, how do we love and impact and serve these little ones? How do we make sure that they know the truth that Jesus gave his life for them? They were having all sorts of fun up there on the fourth floor today as all the kids wore their pajamas. Some of you are like, "Man, these parents didn't even dress their kids to come to church. What's going on?" Like, it was intentional, okay? It was intentional. Throughout the year, we've been able to serve over 46,000 people in some way this year, which is just incredible. But I think the most important number, and a number that's actually been growing throughout the day, is the number of baptisms. At the beginning of the day, we had 46 baptisms. Now we have 51 because five individuals have taken that step just this morning. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. You look back and you see what God's doing and the lives that God's changing and the stories that he's stepping into. And as we've walked through this past year, the reality is that the theme of it has been, throughout all of these different conversations, really a theme of maturity. And you look at the conversations that we've had, money is not an easy conversation. As you walk through vision, and is it my vision or God's vision, that's not an easy conversation. And in this past year, it hasn't just been about how do I step into that relationship, but how do I continue growing in that relationship? How do I be all that? How do I become all that God has created me to be? We walk through Philippians, which is probably the most mature of all the books in the entire New Testament, and he's calling us to live for what's most important. We've been looking at, okay, how do we continue to grow in that relationship? How do we not just find Jesus, but how do we grow in our intimacy with him and in our closeness with him? And as we come to the fall, we want to build on that. As we come to the fall, we want to build on that. And we want to call you to take another step in that maturity process. As we've walked through the year, one of the passages that I've mentioned a couple different times, just a couple months ago, we went back to it. It's found in Psalm chapter 1. And we've been talking about it throughout the year this year in terms of us as individuals. But I actually want to take you to it for a little bit of a different reason. It's found in Psalm chapter 1. It says this. It says, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do." And again, a couple months ago, we looked at this passage, and we talked about it as far as us as individuals and what we want to become. And we want to be solid, and we want to be unmovable. That picture of a tree that's planted, that's rooted, that's sunk down, that is there to stay, right? It has that staying power, that consistency about it. But as we move into this next year, we don't want to just talk about this as far as us as individuals. We want to talk about this as far as Hoboken Grace, what we are collectively. And what does it look like? What does it look like for Hoboken Grace to be like that tree planted on this riverbank? To be like a tree that's consistent and just consistently bearing fruit, solid, unmovable, staying, not just coming and going, but that staying power. And as we move into this next year, we want to come to this and say, okay, God, what does it look like for us to be this inside of this community? And it begins with understanding our purpose. It begins with understanding, okay, what is it that matters, that matters most, and why is it that we're here, and how do we make sure that we're not just doing more, that we're actually doing what's meaningful? It's interesting. I think in a lot of places, in order for Jesus to be known, people need to move from apathy to action. And I talk to pastors around the country, and a lot of them, their focus is, okay, how do I move people from apathy to action? But I think inside of our culture, it's a little bit different, because I think what will make Jesus known above all else is not so much the movement from apathy to action, it's the movement from hurry to healthy. And the reality that God's trying to teach us to be like this, but we live in a world of chaos, and if the world around us is going to see the truth of who Jesus is, there's got to be a movement from chaos to calm. And how do we become this in the midst of our culture? How do we create a place, and how do we become a people where the city looks and says, no, that's not a hurried people, that's a healthy people. It's not a chaotic people, that's a calm people. It's not just more, it's what's meaningful. And so we want to walk into this year, and we're going to talk about purpose. How do we sink our roots down into that and make sure that, no, it's not just more. We're not just looking to do more. No, we want to do what's meaningful. We want to become incredibly intentional with our lives, that we're doing what's going to help us to be consistent and growing. We're going to talk a lot about rhythms as we move through this year and focus more and more on that consistency, that consistent growth, solid, unmovable. As we come out of the purpose conversation, we're going to go into a conversation called In Between the Instagrams. We're going to talk about how the best life isn't created in the highlights of life. The best life is actually created in between, in the mundane. We're going to walk into Christmas and look at, okay, what does it look like? What does it look like to embrace simplicity? And understanding that the chaos of Christmas often robs us of the beauty of it. So how do we simplify? How do we... It's amazing. God could have come with all this bang and all of this noise, but he didn't, did he? No, he came simply. And then we're going to move into the next year and look at, okay, how do we not only find our home in Jesus, but how do we create a place where people can find home that's solid, that's dependable? How do we create that not just for us, but how do we create that for generations of people along this riverbank? We want, We want to be able to build on where it is that God's taken us and where he's brought us, but it begins with purpose. And in that, I don't want you, and I don't want for us to just go into this fall and learn about our purpose. I want for us to practice it, which means that you're going to have to take a step, another step. We're going to have to take another step of maturity. Because as we go into this fall, everything is going to be focused on this one question: what am I here for? This question that every single one of us has asked, every single person has asked, every single person. And this reality that there is not one of us. And if you're here today and you think you're an accident, you're wrong. We're going to be walking through the reality that there is not one of us that's an accident, but all of us were created on purpose for a purpose. We're going to be talking about it here on Sunday. We're going to be reading a book about it. We're going to be walking through the study guide inside of our groups. Our Grace kids are going to be walking our kids through it. Everybody's going to be asking the same question. And inside of that, I want to invite you today, as we prepare for it, I want to invite you to not just learn that this fall, but to practice it, which means you're going to have to take a step of faith, another step in that maturity process, because I want to invite you not just to join a group this fall, I want to invite you to start a group this fall. I want to invite you to start a group this fall. Some of you are like, I don't know what a group is. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a group of people. That's all it is. It's a group of people who get together and they're going to walk through this study guide together. This isn't a lifelong commitment. This is a 7-week commitment. The group can end at the end of 7 weeks. But what we want to invite you into, and here's the thing, this is what it means as far as maturity. Everyone's faith journey starts with someone coming alongside of them. Someone came alongside of you. That's why you're here today. Some of you, someone's recently come alongside of you. That's why they invited you here and you're trying to figure this whole thing out. In the journey of faith for all of us, it starts there. Someone comes alongside of us and says, hey, listen, I just want to journey with you. And they begin to help us to figure out who Jesus is. They introduce us to Jesus. But the journey doesn't end there. This process of becoming like Christ, of knowing Christ, it moves from someone coming alongside of us to us coming alongside of someone else. And as we come into this fall, I want to encourage you to do that, to take that step, to say, no, I'm not just going to learn this myself. I'm going to invite my friends, family, coworkers to be a part of this journey with me. To be able to step into your neighborhood, to be able to step into your local bar, to be able to step into your workplace and just say, hey, listen, we're all asking this question. You guys want to walk through this with me? It doesn't have to be complicated, it doesn't have to be big. And I know as we talk about this, there are all sorts of hesitations. A lot of you have jumped on board. We already have almost 60 groups that are ready to launch into this fall. But I know there are more of you that God wants to use in this way. And some of the hesitations are really easy to address because some of you are like, I don't know, I'm not a very good teacher. Listen, you don't have to teach. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I've done this summer is I've recorded all of the video lessons for the 7 weeks. So you're going to be able to stream them right into your home, right into wherever you are. You'll be able to stream them using whatever device you have, Apple TV, Roku, your phone, whatever it is. If you don't have one, we'll buy you one. We'll buy you a cheaper one, but we'll buy you one. You can stream it wherever you are. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to lead the discussion. You don't have to. That's literally what this is for. It walks you through the discussion. It's literally you and your friends just walking through this together. And we have an orientation. The orientation is going to be taking place every Sunday for the next couple of weeks. We have an orientation that's going to prepare you, get you everything that you need to be set up to walk through this with your friends, coworker, and family members. Some of the hesitations we can address really quickly, but I don't think the number one hesitation. I don't think the number one hesitation is how. I think the number one hesitation is who. And I don't think it's who just because you don't have any friends. I think you do have friends. Some of you only have 3 friends, but still that's enough to be able to have a group. I don't think the hesitation is because you don't have friends. I think the hesitation is because we have this tendency to say no for people. I want to take you to a story this morning that I think should drastically impact the way that we walk into the fall and should drastically impact the way that we think about these things and the way that we think about the question of who. It's a really interesting story. It's found in the book of Acts. If you're here today and you're seeking, trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing and what Jesus was about, Acts is an incredible book for you to read because Acts, it's actually called the Acts of the Apostles. It's the story of the beginning of the church. It was written by a doctor. God uses this doctor who traveled with the apostles. He uses this doctor to give us the story of how the church launches. His name was Luke. And so as you read through the story of Acts, the book of Acts, you see exactly how the church launched. Early on in the book of Acts, we find the story of an individual named Philip. Now, for some of you, you've read through the story of Jesus, and you know that Jesus had a disciple named Philip. The Philip that we're going to talk about here is not that Philip. It's a different Philip. It's a little bit confusing when you're reading through it, but this Philip is actually one of the early leaders inside of the church as it's growing. The church takes off after the day of Pentecost. And as the church takes off, they realize, man, we need people in leadership. And so one of the people that gets put into leadership is this guy named Philip. We don't know a lot of Philip's story, but we know one part of his story because Luke records it. It's a really interesting story. Now, the context is important because you have to understand that right before Luke shares this story with us, he shares the story of one of Philip's friends who was named Stephen. And Stephen was the first person who was put to death for following Jesus. And so as these individuals are made leaders inside the church, one of the first things that happened is Stephen is stoned to death, which is not a great way to die. And Philip watches that happen. And then this is the story that Luke shares with us immediately following that. It's a really interesting story of how God is working and moving in this moment. It starts off in Acts chapter 8, and it says this. It says, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" And this is interesting. I just want to pause here because I don't know if you guys have noticed this about God or not, but God does this all the time. And if you haven't experienced it, you should look forward to it and understand that this is the way that he works. Because God steps into Philip's life and he says, "Listen, I want you to go south, go down this road." "Where are we going?" "No, don't need to worry about that, just go." God does this all the time and it drives us crazy. It drives us crazy because we're like, "Where are we going? What's gonna happen? How's it gonna work out? What if it? And we've got all these different questions. And God's like, nope, just go down the road. And it's interesting too because Philip has just been made a leader in this church, right? And he's supposed to be sharing the message of Jesus, and I'm going to take the message of Jesus, and he sends him where? The desert? God, maybe you don't know this. There aren't people in the desert. Now, you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about it. You just go. God does this all the time. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia. Now, here's the thing. This is no small deal. The treasurer of Ethiopia is an incredibly significant person. Incredible access, incredible wealth, incredible position. So this isn't like just a small carriage that's going down the road, okay? This is a caravan of people. This is a massive deal. There's probably guards that are with them. This guy would not just travel anywhere by himself. This is significant. So he runs into this caravan. It says he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch. If you don't know what a eunuch is, it has to do with castration. You can look into it. You can Google it, but that probably won't cut it. That was Anthony's joke. I blame him for that. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. So he runs into this caravan, and he's this eunuch is going along. He's reading from Isaiah. Philip doesn't actually know that yet, but then God again directs Philip. It says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Now, here's the thing about this. I don't think that this was, we read it and we're like, oh yeah, he just says, go walk beside it. I can't imagine that it would be a really welcome thing for people to just come and walk beside this guy. You have to make sure that you put yourself into the story when you're reading these stories. You have to understand the situation. I mean, this is an incredibly important guy. Just imagine inside of our culture, right, with someone who's significant inside of our government. You're not just going to go walk alongside the car, are you? But God's like, no, go walk alongside the carriage. Philip ran over. I love that it says he ran. Philip ran over because he's on foot and they're on a carriage, so they're moving fast and he's just trotting along beside. I got to think he looked a little funny. And heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? We're going to come back to that in just a second. So the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. God's like, go alongside the carriage. Philip's running beside it. Okay, what's going to happen next? He hears him reading from Isaiah. Philip speaks up, and he's able to introduce this guy to Jesus. The remarkable thing about it that we know historically is that one of the places where the church grew the fastest when the church first launched was in Ethiopia. It all started here. Here. But I don't think that Luke shares this story with us just for the sake of us understanding how the gospel got to Ethiopia. I think there's so much for us inside of this story, especially as we're looking to the fall. I think there's so much for us to be able to see and to learn from this story. And it begins with this. The entire thing, this entire experience, this entire story, what does it start with? What does it start with? It starts with obedience. The entire thing starts with what? Obedience, specifically obedience without clarification. Come here, listen. Everything God wants to do in your life starts with obedience. Everything. If you want to limit God's impact in your life, just say no. Everything he wants to do in your life starts with obedience. And for some of you, over the last couple of weeks, as we've been talking about starting a group, God's been nudging you. I love the way Anthony talks about it. God's been nudging you, and you've been asking all these questions, but how's it going to work out? How's it? All the same questions that Philip could have asked. Do you want to experience what God wants to do in your life? Obey. Everything God wants to do in your life starts with obedience. Philip doesn't just obey to go down to the desert road in the middle of nowhere where he's not going to be able to accomplish what it is that he thinks he's supposed to accomplish. But Philip obeys when he says, go run alongside that carriage, which means that you might be in incredible danger. But it's not just Philip's obedience that's amazing. The other thing that's amazing to me is Philip's courage. Because it starts with his obedience, but it continues with his courage to speak up. And this is where the context is really important. And we miss this about this story. Because what has just happened before this, his friend was put to death because he spoke up for Jesus. And now he comes alongside of it. And we read it, and we read it like, but the guy's reading from the book of Isaiah. He's reading from the Bible, right? Yep, but he's reading from Isaiah. That's the same thing that the religious leaders followed who killed his friend. He doesn't know what the situation is. He doesn't know if this is safe. He doesn't. And what right does he have to speak to this guy anyway? I mean, to speak up and say, do you know what you're reading? He's talking to someone with incredible position, incredible education. Don't miss the fact that this guy is riding in a carriage with a copy of the book of Isaiah. How many people owned a copy of the book of Isaiah at that time? This is a scroll. He's got his own personal copy of Isaiah that he's reading out of. Don't miss the fact that he's reading. This guy's more educated than Philip. This guy has more position than Philip. What right does Philip have to say anything to him at all? And yet he comes alongside of him, he hears him, and he has the courage to speak up and say, hey, listen, do you understand? Which, if he did understand what he's reading, is quite offensive, isn't it? Like, really? Seriously? Philip, can you even read? And you're asking me, do I understand what it is that I'm reading? Like, you, the guy who looks like an idiot running alongside of my carriage? But he has the courage to speak up. And more importantly, listen, he doesn't say no for the eunuch. There were a million different reasons why he could have said no. Like, no, he's educated. He's not going to be interested. No, he's got a copy of it. I mean, he's got more information than I do. No, he could. There's a million different ways in his head that he could have said no for the eunuch. But instead, he decided to let him say yes or no for himself. And he decided to take a chance that maybe, just maybe, this guy was searching. As I've been working through this, I have been overwhelmed. Preparing for the fall, reading through this passage, it's been about a month now that this story has just captivated me, because I believe that God is trying to convince me that I've been looking at this the wrong way the whole time. Because I have a tendency to do what you do. We all have the tendency to do it, and that is to say, well, they're not really searching. I have a tendency to say no for them instead of giving them the chance to say no for themselves. And I have the tendency to be able to walk into a situation and say, well, they really wouldn't be interested in Jesus. They're not really searching. And it's this story that God has been bringing me back to over and over again to say, listen, the world around you is searching. They're just searching alone. And that's the reality of this guy's life. He was searching, but he didn't have anybody to help him. He was just searching alone. And God decides to bring Philip into this moment, in this place, so he didn't have to search alone anymore. Listen. Not only are you here on purpose for a purpose, but you have been brought into the lives of the people around you so that they don't have to search alone anymore. But you're not going to know. You're not going to know who's searching alone and who isn't if you don't have the courage to ask the question. Our culture is experiencing a suicide spike unlike we have ever seen. Suicide rates right now are the highest since they've been since World War II. Suicide rates of individuals in their early 20s have doubled since 2007. Our kids are killing themselves at a rate like they've never done before. They're searching. They're just searching alone. God gave his life. He gave his son. Jesus gave everything for them to know. You're not an accident. Who? Anyone. Let's stop saying no for them. Oh, my boss wouldn't really be interested. Oh, no, my friend, he's crazy. He doesn't really care about that stuff. You have no idea what they think about when they lay down at night. You have no idea. And sometimes we don't find out until it's too late. We've got to stop saying no for them. And at least give them a chance to say no themselves. Who is it in your life that you've been saying no for? That you're like, oh, no, I'd never. They wouldn't be interested. I'm not going to invite them. No, they wouldn't. No. They don't really care about those things. They don't really think about those things. But you've never actually taken the time to ask. Who? The world around us is seeking. They're just seeking alone. Some of you, God's nudging you. Start the group. Invite them. At least give them the chance to say no themselves. You have no idea. You have no idea what God can do through you. A couple of years ago, I decided I was going to start an interesting group because there were all these husbands who attended Hoboken Grace because their wife attends here, but they didn't actually want to attend Hoboken Grace, but they wanted to be supportive of their wives. And so they would come, and they didn't like the music that much, so they'd walk the hallway during the music, and then when the message starts, they'd come in and sit in the back. Some of you are here today, and you do that. And they would come and do that week after week after week, and I'd just been watching this, and my wife Anna knew several of their wives, and so one day I just decided, we were walking into a new group launch, and I just decided I'm going to start a group for all the dads who don't want to be a part of Hoboken Grace, and I decided I was just going to go invite them. Hey, listen, I'm starting this new group. Do you want to be a part of this group, and we'll just kind of talk through what we're talking about on Sunday, just like a dinner group does. And I expected every single one of them to say no. All five of them said yes. One of them was the very first person that I ever partied with here in Hoboken. I never thought he'd come to Hoboken Grace. And if he had not begun to date the person that he was dating, he never would have come to Hoboken Grace. But I remember the day he walked in, I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, what are you doing here? I was like, I told you I was doing this, man. Like, that. All five of them said yes. what God did over the course of the next 2 years blew my mind. Blew my mind. You don't know. You don't know. Who? Anyone. Started at work, started at school. We have a group that's starting on Ohio State's campus. I don't know how that happened. I'm a Michigan fan. I have no idea how that happened. They're studying to become dentists. They're going to have a group of dentist people. It's great. It's amazing. Might become an Ohio State fan. Never thought I'd say that. Start it anywhere. We've got a guy who's starting a group for his employees. He's not going to force them to come. It's just like, hey, I'm going to start it for my staff. I'm not going to say no for them. What if we stop saying no for them? What if we find out far more of them have been searching than we thought? You have no idea. And you have no idea what God can do through you when you start with obedience. I want to invite you, take a step. Take a step. See what God can do. It just might blow your mind. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this amazing story of how you so intentionally brought Philip into this place. I pray that we wouldn't miss out on the fact that you've done the same thing for us. It's just that oftentimes we're not stepping into obedience. We're not stepping into it with courage. And Father, I want to pray for those who are here today who are seeking alone. I just want to talk to those of you who may be here today and you're seeking alone. And right now you're at that place where you don't know if there's a reason. Maybe you've given up on the fact that there's a reason. You've bought into what your parents told you or what your friend told you or whoever else who told you that you didn't matter. They lied to you. And I want you to know that you don't have to seek alone anymore. That you're welcome here, that we want for you to be here with us and to be on this journey with us. And we're excited about walking into this fall with you because we get to seek together. And I want to tell you, and I want you to know, as we walk through this fall, the answer that you're going to find about why it is that you're here is unbelievable. And God has something incredible in store for you. So don't you for 1 second lose hope. Father, I pray that you would use us. Pray that you would work through and speak through us inside this community, inside this city, that they would know the truth, that they were created on purpose, for purpose, by a God who loves them more than they could imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.